Session number 11308, Reel 2.
Get busy on the battlefront, which we proceeded to do very quickly. That was, of course, the big Somme fight.
Had you seen Trenchard before, or was this your first view of him?
I think you asked me that question. I think we did. He used to turn up at the squadrons that I was serving with at intervals, and I've no doubt that sometime we had seen him, but certainly he was there to. He would make a careful inspection of the squadrons, try to raise points of criticism, just because of good form, to keep us on our toes. And I saw him a number of times during the war, on different occasions.
Did you like the Galanfarn?
Yes, very much indeed. We were not the only squadron on the Galanfarn. It had two sections to it, a road running between, and it was right bang on the middle, behind the battlefront. I was trying to think of the name of a place, but on the main road out of Amiens to Doulon, and which was running parallel to the battlefront.
Were you actually billeted in the buildings there, or
When we arrived, there was no accommodation, closed accommodation, so we were in tents, and there are pictures of the tent line. So it was only later on in the year, as the weather closed in, that we transferred into the farm. Some bit we liked, some bit we didn't like, because of rats and things, but on the whole, we, of course, as we were in the habit of doing in our flying corps, lived pretty well.
So were the buildings used for workshops and squadron office and that sort of thing?
Who was doing them?
Were the buildings used for the workshops and the squadron office?
The workshops were part of our own transport. We had our own... We opened up the sides and the lathes and all the equipment.
Oh, the mobile.
Was mobile. And quite a good show. Well, of course, we had a busy time on the battlefront. And there again, we retained our superiority over the Germans. This continued through to pretty well established. We flew down there basically because 60 Squadron had come out with Morans. They didn't prove to be satisfactory. The Moran bullet was fast in a straight line, but it was difficult to fly, difficult to land, and not particularly maneuverable. So they were planted as a headquarters squadron down there, but had to be relieved and taken out of the line to re-equip with another type. And so we really took over. We went down there short notice to take over from that squadron, a squadron which has always retained a very excellent reputation. Our big day, because we were kept pretty active. The battlefront was much more, the skies were more full than they were further north, and the battle was a terrific slaughter. We as flying men felt very keenly for the infantry, and we would do anything we could possibly do to help them. It was a nasty sight in the evenings as the infantry units would pass our airfield before so to speak, turning to the right to go into the line, and they were relieving some other units at that time. However, our big day, in a way, was September the 15th. That was the day that our tanks went into battle for the first time. They were handled with secrecy, a complete surprise to the Germans, and we were naturally out to win the war. Well, we boys in 32 Squadron were quite determined that no German Air Force would interfere with them, and we were up as quick as we, as much as we could, only leaving enough time to fill up our tanks. And in that respect, I'm pretty sure that the tanks were not interfered with by the German air, although they were active further in their own, on their own side.
Did they come as a surprise to you from the air, or had you seen a tank on the ground?
They came pretty good surprise. We just knew enough about it, but they were moved up into their positions and then recovered, and so they never showed themselves until the 15th. And the battle was a great success up to a point, and then I'm afraid it failed. We made a breakthrough, but got pincered in, and some chaps. I mean, I think they. Cavalry were always very anxious to get into the war, and I think they sent some cavalry through, but we didn't think much of that. People on horses against machine guns, we didn't think were a very good match. But of course there were a lot of good cavalry officers in the senior command, and they still had their feelings.
How did you get on with your ground crew when you were at Verganor? Were they allocated to you?
The mechanics and so on. Yes, each squadron, each flight had its own personnel of fitters and riggers. Basically, as I recall, each pilot had his own fitter for the engines and his own rigger to keep the rest of the aircraft in good trim. And then there was a senior corporal and a flight sergeant in charge of the flight. And very fine show they put up. They were all very good on the whole. Came a time when I was at 40 Squadron when I had to make a few changes quickly, but on the whole it was very satisfactory. The squadron did well. 24 Squadron was further south. They were particularly good, I think. And during that period that we were there, my brother came out. He'd been in the Dardanelles. He learned to fly and joined the squadron. He was one of these brave chaps and sailed into a bunch of two-seater Huns, and got himself. He didn't like any Germans being in the sky at the same time as he was, and perhaps as a tactician, he wasn't so hot. But he pitched into these chaps, got properly shot up, but flying wires and everything were broken, but only got a slight wound. Fairly slight wound in the foot, so he was very much very well thought of in the squadron. They gave him a lot of marks, and he then was transferred to home for a while.
He had been with you for a while, hadn't he?
Well, he was with 32 Squadron. This was the period that he was with us,
right?
And it was with 32 Squadron that he pitched into these Huns, and took a wound in his foot, which was not terribly serious, but he had to be sent home. He came out again later on, but joined Foot 24 Squadron. Well, perhaps I should try to describe a little more The squadron was always had splendid morale. We had our problems, but there was never any question about it. But after about the end of September and more beginning of October, the Germans came out with new equipment. This gave the war an entirely different aspect. They were two guns, tractor aircraft, and 30 miles an hour faster than we were, and could always out-time us when they wished to. It was they were fairly aggressive, but they took it fairly easily. They watched their steps very carefully until they got themselves going in good order. Their chop chaps were good. I don't know whether Immelmann came down. I don't think he did. No, Immelmann was the star turn on our previous front, and got killed fighting with 25 squadron, and taking liberties with them. But they still had their great commander Boelcke. Boelcke, I respected tremendously. He was a splendid chap, and in an enemy sense, a gentleman. And he had in his new type aircraft, and his command with him, he was fighting 24 squadron, and two of his he and another airman collided, and he was killed. Richthofen was around, and of course had his fight with Hawker, who commanded 24 squadron, and Hawker, after a very tough fight with certain elements unfavorable to him, took one shot in the head and he was killed. The battle really got very tough after that period. I have I think we were up a lot fighting, and I didn't seem to be writing much in the way of letters or keeping records in my logbook or so on, but it was pretty hard going. The only advantage we retained was we were maneuverable, but they would have the speed and performance to keep in the position that they wished to, which was mostly above us and diving on us. But I don't know. I'm still pretty young in the squadron, but we had a number of casualties. Not by any means all the work of the enemy side. We had crashes and such like, and fellows were changed around.
Were they a fairly cosmopolitan bunch?
Fairly, but not very. We had Canadians, and we always had Canadians, and I never seemed to run into a Canadian flying with us who wasn't good. A jolly fine lot of people.
One of them was in your flight, I believe. Is this Geoffrey Bonnell?
Geoffrey Bonnell. That was, yes, he was.
A Canadian artilleryman, I think, at one time.
But notwithstanding my youth, I seem to find myself quite often leading the patrols. Can't quite make up my mind where. Why? Because I think a man called Nicholas was the flight commander, but I suppose he was on leave and one thing or another. But I imagine I was fairly reasonably senior in the squadron. I'd been out there a good many months and had a good deal of experience.
Were you a superstitious pilot?
Not at all. And didn't have any of those sort of feelings at all. never had any doubts. The squadron on the whole, they morale was always high. We were a well-behaved squadron. We liked each other. No bothers about, and we all flew and fought well together, pretty well. I was doubtful sometimes about the new entries, whether they were as good as some of the older ones. But I suppose we had some chaps who weren't as good as others.
Where did you go for recreation? Where did you, when you had some spare moments?
Well, Amiens was quite near, and it was a very attractive centre. Had some good restaurants, and was a good playground. And that's more or less where we would be inclined to head if we had some free time, weather, or possibly, certainly the later part of the war, we used to have a day off occasionally. So on those occasions, we would go and have a good old party that way. As a squadron, we were not a drinking squadron. There were some squadrons who were drinking squadrons, but we were not ever a drinking squadron. I was never with a drinking squadron. I was careful myself, holding a theory that I needed all the wits I'd got, and bullets travelled faster than my wits, so I better be careful.
How do you manage to cope with that sort of daily strain of war flying?
The excitement of a dogfight was very considerable. Your odds were either you could be killed or you could kill the other chap, and those are pretty big odds to play with. And the actual dogfights, so-called, usually didn't last very long. As a rule, the Germans seemed to disappear. But coming down again after that type of excitement, I would find that I was kind of exhausted. I would frequently get onto my camp bed and fall fast asleep for a couple of hours. That was quite a common reaction, because it was, however you look at it, quite an excitement. And that was a good reaction to take. I think made good sense.
How many times were you going up a day?
Usually twice, weather permitting. We'd have various patrols. Gradually the numbers grew from perhaps two to the whole flight, perhaps five or six. And our formations in our DH2 period were very what you might call sloppy. We were not at all good at it. Our spaces were quite open, and we'd keep together, but that's about all.
Was Vergalon a small airfield?
No, it was a spacious airfield. It was up in the First Army front that we had very limited space. Had to be quite bright to make a landing on some of the airfields up there. But no, Vergalon was a nice spacious place, and I think you said that you'd been out and seen it yourself. Others of my friends during recent periods have been out and find that it's still a farm, and have been able to chat with the occupants. But come the later period, it became quite tough. And towards the later part of the year, I suppose you'd say we lost some of our superiority, all right, with the German aircraft having much greater performance than our own, and being quite well handled. Richthofen came on as a leading character, not one of my favourites, but he certainly was a successful fighter.
How did you rate Richthofen then at this time? What, any time?
During a recent radio programme, I made what I considered rather an unfortunate description of it. The truth was that as a young boy of 18, I still was able to, most boys of 18 had their own opinions, and I didn't like him. I didn't think he was a gentleman, and I thought I didn't think he treated his prisoners well. Well, Balke was a very fine fighter, magnificent leader, and was always courteous with his prisoners and so on when he shot down fellows that were still alive, as he did one or two of 32 Squadron, including Wilson. And so I disliked Richthofen always. I thought he shouting his mouth too much, and but he was, of course, a very successful.
How did you get to hear the names of pilots on the other side?
Well, they were made heroes. Mm. We took up quite a different attitude in Britain. As a Royal Flying Corps, we were an army corps, and the army were very much opposed to making heroes of airmen. They just regarded it as another wing of the army, like the Royal Engineers, if you like, or the gunners. And they said they had plenty of war to fight, and they didn't need a single airport. So, but I think personally that was a mistake. The Americans have made heroes, the Germans made great heroes of their Air Force fellows, and the French did to an extent too. You know their names, and they were public property. And a fellow like Richthofen was in their papers, and hero, and shook hands with generals and all the business.
Did you have nicknames for them?
No, I don't think so. The one that although I didn't like Richthofen and I didn't like the Germans as a whole, I certainly had respect for certain of them, and chaps like, well, as I said, Balke was always a favourite. Well, Voss was a hero with the whole of our Flying Corps chaps. He was put up a most gallant fight, was shot down by 56 Squadron in 1917. Udet was another very fine fellow who commanded the German Air Force in the last war, and he had the full decorations of the First World War pour la mérite, and that sort of thing. So there were certain fellows that I had a high regard for, but some, on the whole, I didn't have a very great respect for the German lot. Some of them were damn good fighters, of course. So came the time when my brother came out again. We applied to get him into 32 Squadron, but there wasn't a vacancy, so he was detailed to 24 Squadron. In November, I think it was, I was dining with him in 24 Squadron, and on return suffered an appendicitis problem, and that was the last time that I flew with the squadron. I was sent to the casualty section, and it wasn't a very serious problem, but I was sent home to hospital and operation. Didn't have it until I got home again. So that was the end of my experience with 32 Squadron. Where is my book?